to lift our voice and praises unto Him. Amen. Let us lift our voice in praise. If you don't turn your scriptures, turn to Romans, the 8th chapter. Brother Theo said it looked like it's something out of that, so we'll just go to that. Don't blame me now. I tried to get Brother Mike to preach for us this afternoon. I said, hey, you got something? He said, no, I've been traveling around. I don't have anything. I said, I don't either. You might thought I was kidding, but I wasn't. But, you know, we'll just continue on the way we're heading in the message of what we're trying to get you to see. But we just want to thank the sisters for, you know, the fixing of the meal and everything. It was really great, sisters, and we appreciate it. Brother Theo had never ate teriyaki chicken. And he's ate a bite of it last night, and this morning he said, I got the last piece a while ago. You know, we had teriyaki chicken and chicken breast and Colorado mule deer. Well, they ate the mule deer, and the teriyaki chicken never did touch none of the breast. They just going to town on that and having them a ball. But we had a good time. I appreciated, you know, Brother Theo and everything. I wouldn't say, you know, just this morning say, well, while he's here, you do that. Now I say it while he's gone. I appreciate him. He's got a great testimony and a great, you know, love for God and for His people. That's one thing he has. And Brother Daisley has just as much in his heart. I appreciate him. I really do. But now the tapes, Brother Al said that he didn't have time to get the tapes ready of, like, the morning service. So, you know, if you have to and you want to get them this afternoon, just hang around a little while and wait on him, and he'll try to run what he can or do what he can to get them fixed.
I've got some last night and some of this morning ready. Right. But they're in limited quantities. I put two tapes last night and two this morning. I just didn't have time to make them.
Right. But if you want them, if not, just write your name down. Write it down on a piece of paper and leave it. We'll mail them to you. Whatever, you know, we'll take care of
it. I've got enough to take care of that. If our people here, let's let the ones that's visited
right. Okay. First. Let the visitors get them first, you know, if they want them and everything. We appreciate it. And I heard y'all talking about Brother Maloney now. He said the other day he was throwing a ball and he's trying to talk now. So he's doing better. He's on the mend and everything, you know. Still in bad shape because he can't swallow. He's having troubles with that. So just keep praying for him. Just keep holding him up. But remember his sister. She's been taking care of him now 4 months. She stayed in the hospital with him every day. But one, I think, out of 3 months, you know, in the hospital. They just got a room in the hospital and stayed, you know, and all. And she's 80 years old. Yeah, she's 80 years old. So remember her as well as you remember him. Let's just read in Romans. We'll just read verse 18 and 19, and then we'll get to our thought from Revelation 5 after a few minutes. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now there's that us this morning. For the earnest expectation of the creature. Now that's creation.
Right.
That's not just mankind either. That's the trees. That's the cattle.
Right.
That's the animals. But it's the Christians, see. It's the human element, but it's especially, see, to us.
Right.
That are born again believers,
right,
waiting, see, for the coming of the Lord to finish all this up. So listen to what he says now. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We just pray you'd bless us now with your presence and just have your way in the service. Forgive our sins, Lord, and cleanse us. And just bless Brother Daisley and him on the highway and take care of him, Lord. And just have your way with him and, you know, and lead him. And bless Brother Theo, Lord, and Brother Lysandra. We just appreciate him. Have your way now in the service in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I bet you'd never guess what we put on the toast this morning for breakfast.
Margarine.
We didn't have anything else. We didn't have any butter. So I told Brother Daisley, I said, Brother Daisley, we didn't put any on his because, you know, he said not to. And so when I said it, we set it on the table, I told Brother Theo, I said, Brother Theo, I said, I'm sorry, but we don't have anything but margarine. He looked at me, he said, after all I preach and all I've done, he said, here I get margarine for breakfast. I said, well, brother, I'll tell you what you do. I said, you've heard the old story that they told about the Jew that got converted to the Catholic faith, you know, And it come up Friday, and they got together, you know, and the old Jew was going to fix the priest, you know, a meal. So he baked him a ham, you know. And so the priest came down. He said, well, you know, we Catholics don't eat ham on Friday. He said, we eat fish. And the old Jew, he sat there a minute, and he thought, and he said, I tell you what you do, Father. He said, you took a little of that holy water and sprinkled it on me and converted me from a Jew to a Catholic. I said, just sprinkle a little bit of it on that ham and make it a fish and we'll eat. So I said, brother, just sprinkle a little something on that margarine and forgive us. But when he comes back, he'll get butter. You know, and we'll make sure we just store some somewhere. But we had a good time. I really enjoyed the time. I've had a good revival this week in the Lord, you know. It was good to see young people up at meeting there Thursday night especially, and they said they had great services before then. But see, young people seeking the Lord.
Amen.
You know, and then here Saturday night to see some young people seeking the Lord. That, you know, I told Brother Theo, he and I got along good because he just speaks straight, I speak straight. And that's what I told him. I said, hey, look, I'm just what I am.
Right.
What I say to you, that's just what I mean. I don't mean anything by it to offend you, but I said, I walked in, he's sitting at the table, and we was going to eat a little bite last night. I walked over, I looked at him, I said, brother, I said, I want you to know that if I didn't agree with you at all about what you said tonight, I appreciate the service.
Right.
He looked at me, you know, because he couldn't understand that. I said, but I do agree with everything you say. You know, I get to it. That is what I told him. I said, if I didn't agree with you at all, I do. I appreciate anybody that's got a burden in their heart and trying to seek and get somebody blessed in the Lord and come to the Lord and see them blessed and all. I told you a while back, you know, we may keep on, we'll be your tongue speaking and shouting a bunch of Pentecostals around here. Because it just, you know, it's just moving and that's fine. Let's move as God moves. But now, I've been trying to get something across to the church here at home, to the visitors for quite a while. And, you know, Brother Branham told the story of how that the old Chinaman came over here with, you know, with the laundry and he couldn't speak English or anything, and he didn't know how to do, so he devised a way, though, to be able to give people to take their laundry to do them and then give them back to them. So he would just tear a piece of paper and give you one, and he'd take the other. And, you know, you had to have the pieces to match. And if those pieces didn't match, it didn't matter how much you could cut it, you could try to manufacture it. There was no way you could make that tire fit other than the original tire that went with it to make it fit. See, that was the matching pieces. Well, I believe that the Bible is in order, perfectly in order, and stands to be, not to have to be corrected or anything, and so is the prophet's message. It's the same thing. And I told Brother Dalton of an experience, Brother Theo of an experience that I had in a minister's meeting where I told a man just to, you know, to pull off his shoe. If he could correct Brother Branham, I wanted to kiss his toe. And I wasn't laughing, I wasn't kidding, I told him I wouldn't. I said, I'm serious. I said, because if a man can correct Brother Branham, he would have had to been God himself. I said, so if you can correct him, you're God. You know, I want to worship you. And that's where I believe it. I don't believe that you or me, either one, has any right of trying to correct anything. We don't need to.
Right.
We just need to believe what he said and wait for God to reveal that to us. To me, that's what the manifestation of the sons of God are. The prophet could make it so simple, yet we go through all the things to make it so great of a thing. He said, a little washwoman going about her daily duties. Now, that's what he called it. He said, a man with his lunch under his arm, going to work. See, but that man was led of the Lord. That little washwoman was led of the Lord. She was walking in the Lord. Like I said last night about the sister over there, I believe it's in India, isn't it, or Africa, where the meal is still there, the oil still there, going for 3.5 years. She didn't know what the seals and the thunders and the vials and the plagues and all of those things are. See? Well, see, I wonder, do we know? See? Because to me, the whole Bible is Jesus Christ. It's not a mystery. As the brother said up there the other night, the mysteries have been revealed by the prophet.
Right.
It's no longer a mystery. I'm not going to try to preach you a mystery because there's no mystery. The mystery has already been revealed. It was revealed in Jesus Christ.
Right.
See? Then to find out that we're part of that mystery, and the brother said it this morning, if he's to be revealed, we're to be revealed because it's us.
Right.
See? Jesus, that's us. It takes that. We'll see the matching pieces now. Now, I want to ask you just a question, because I've been on this for quite a while, and I like to ask questions because I get a lot of questions, you know. But what are you looking for to think about a rapture, a change, or going away, or the coming of the Lord, or anything you want to think of? What are you looking for? See? That's why I read it where it says the earnest expectation. See? If you're expecting something, you know, on about the first of the month, there's a bunch of us around here that's retired. Well, you know, we make sure we're around the post office. You know? Around the first of the month. You know? Why? Because we're under earnest expectation to get our check. You know? And see, that's what we are. That's an earnest expectation. It's a longing, a desire, you know. And we read here that the earnest expectation of the creature, the whole creation, everything's longing, waiting for the sons of God to come on the earth, which, just put it in plain language, the world is waiting on its master. It's waiting on its ruler, because when Brother Branham came, the world for a moment saw its ruler. The bull backed off. The hornets went back to their nest. They saw their master. Well, I don't believe that ended there. We're not to be prophets. We don't have to worry about it. We never tried to be. That's nothing to try to be. You just be what you are. Yeah. But as the body of Christ, see, Brother Branham was not the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Right.
No. But the prophet himself, Brother Branham himself, on like the mighty God unveiled, the unveiling of God, many places he said, the bride will be the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Okay? Now that's not going to be just you.
Right.
It's not going to be just me.
No.
See, all these preachers run around, you know. Here I am. You want to see God? Here I stand, you know. Well, that's fine if it was manifested right, maybe, you know, because it produced. But see, the world all the way around is waiting on the manifestation of the sons of God. That's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It's when God pours all of himself into the church to finish this thing up. But see, we've all looked through the Methodist time, the Baptist time, the Presbyterian time, the places we came from. We wondered what would all of this end up to be. And I told you the other day about it. The prophet made a statement on page 6 of Look Away to Jesus that used to really bother me. He said, now you know, and he was talking about the third pool, and the great manifestations and things like that. He said, now you know what to look for. But I scratched my head when he said that, because I didn't know what to look for. Especially after the one that had said it was already passed on and couldn't do any more, you know. I mean, if he'd have been there, I could have said, hey, I know what to look for him and, you know, let him do it. But he was done gone. He was done passed on to his reward. But yet he said, you know what to look for. And I wondered and I wondered, what do I look for? What are you expecting? Now, the prophet put it like this on page 23 of The Mighty God Unveiled Before Us. He's talking about the same ministry. Now, I gave the church, if you want them later, some of you, but you've got computers and you got your own computer, your studies over the years. You know, the prophet said that Jesus Christ couldn't come back until the same ministry that he had would have to be in the bride. See, now most everybody says, now don't throw off on nobody, I believe in parousia, in the right parousia, okay? But a lot of the parousia said he came in 63, he's gone, all we do is just sit back and wait.
Yeah.
Alright? Well, that was their expectation.
Yeah.
See, they have no expectation now. But see, the Bible says that we're under expectation waiting, see, for the manifestation of the sons of God. We're still waiting. Alright? But the prophet, then he got on Christ, the mystery of God revealed. He said, if it's not the same life, or the mighty God unveiled, one mighty God unveiled, he said it's got to be the same life, same power, same signs, same ministry, same everything.
Right.
Now, and he said on Christ, the mystery of God revealed, he said, if a man thinks he has this and it's comes up with something different, he said he's got the wrong revelation.
Amen. That's right.
See? Now, your anointed ones can have signs and wonders. We understand the message. They can produce and a lot of times outshine the original as far as at this present time, maybe because there's more of them, there are numbers more, and that's what they're dealing with. They're only dealing with signs and wonders. If you want gifts in ministry tonight, I years ago went down to Augusta, Georgia, sat down and talked with a sister there that her husband was a man named Blow, and I believe it was Jerry Blow, but I know his last name was Blow. Brother Collins knew it. He baffled the Hebrew scholars by the numbers that he knew that they couldn't even talk to him. He knew the numbers of the Bible and the Hebrew scholar language that he could talk to them in numbers, and he got so far above them they called in help to talk to him. And here's a guy that ain't supposed to know nothing. Huh? And Brother Collins, he said, I've seen him, Brother Dale. He said, I've seen him line up 20 people and go down the line and discern every one of them and call out exactly to what it was, one after the other one, and never miss. He would take a bell and ring it before the congregation and get the congregation to blot their minds out, and he would tell them that he was the spirit of Samuel, reincarnated and come in the last days, you know. Had gifts and signs and wonders. And he was a homosexual. See, signs and wonders, if that's what we're looking for, if that's all we think of the ministry of Jesus Christ, then where are we going? See? What are we going to do? You go down to a Pentecostal church, you see signs and wonders. You go to a Baptist now, and you just see signs and wonders. You go to the Catholic, they're praying for the sick. Great signs are happening around the world, all kinds of things. Is that the ministry of Jesus Christ that the prophet said would have to be on the earth before he would come? See, then we can sit down and say, well, this is really what it is. It's just the Word. And we're just drilling in here in the Word until that's just what we're looking for. Well, I think that's both ends of the scale myself. You know, I think it went off each end. Because, see, the way I believe it and the way I try to preach it here to the people, it's the same life, same Word, same signs. Now, that's the order of it. That's the way I believe it. I believe the life is first. Life is number one. Because if it's not the life, it's not worth anything. See, it would have to fall under anointed ones or something else if it wasn't the life of Christ. So it's the life first. Secondly comes the Word. Thirdly comes signs. You say, well, where's that in the script? These signs shall follow them that believe. See? All right. See, then that way, you say, Brother Dale, what are you looking for? I'm looking for the same ministry of Jesus Christ to be made manifest by the bride, not one person, right. Not two persons, not just a five-fold ministry.
Blessing. Right.
You know, not just that. I'm looking for it to be made manifest around the world in a many-membered body called the bride. Right. All right. And be the same ministry Jesus Christ had, which would come up then first the life, because that's what he was. He had the life, he had the Word, because that's what he was, and he had the signs following that. And I've asked the people here, if you want to know what to look for, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Right.
See, we forgot the Gospels.
Right.
We've left the Gospel. We got so great in our understanding, we've left the Gospels, we've left the Bible, we've left the prophet's message. We're on out into, But see, if you want to know the life of Christ, go back and read the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John was the Word made flesh. See, we want to all run to the book of Acts to try to find something. That's wonderful. But Acts would have never happened without a Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John.
Amen.
Like I told the people years ago, you know, we talk about that we're expecting, the rapture's done in process. Well, we're amen, because we know what we're talking about. Because they'd say, well, we know that the people that saying that are not saying physically they're changed. All right. You know, gone. We're just saying a spiritual rapture has taken place, and we start in it with the shout, etc., voice of the archangel, trumpet. Well, what about getting to the change first? The change comes before the rapture.
Right.
Why don't we talk of a spiritual change?
Right.
See? There's supposed to be a change. See? See, you say, well, Brother Dale, we're just talking about a spiritual rapture. We're not talking about a physical rapture. Well, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a spiritual change.
Amen.
Before a physical change. See? All right, that's what I'm trying to get us to see around here, that the prophet brought a message. We don't need anybody to interpret it.
Right.
We just need to believe what he said. See? And let him make it manifest.
Right.
Now, if I see some getting sleepy, you want to hire you, hire you? All right. Well, I got that on you now. All in a minute, stand up. So, no, Brother Theo, he said, I got my way of doing it. He said, they get sleepy on me, I'll wake them up. But listen, see, if we're under expectation, then we need to know what to look for.
Yes.
See, you just say, well, I look for the ministry of Jesus Christ. Now, Brother Branham said, did he make this statement? He said, give them all on the platform. Give them gifts and signs. He said they'll back it up every time. Now, is that the way he said it? He said they'll flock to it. Now you see in the last days, and I'm not throwing off on any of them. I'm not saying anything about it. I've warned my church here. Do not make fun of no one, no matter who they are.
Amen.
If the Pope of Rome, and they come out and say he healed the sick, don't laugh at him.
Amen.
If the sick was healed and God used that man to lay his hand on him, you laugh at him, you're laughing at the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost is the only revealer.
Amen.
God is the only healer there is.
Amen.
Don't make fun of nobody.
Right. Amen.
See? Just go on and forget it. If you don't believe it that way, just like I told the church, there's brothers in this message, that if you lined up 40 dead people, and every one of them was raised from the dead, through them sign, you know, of the ministry of the man, I'd still look in their face and say, I don't believe what you're teaching. He said, oh, you couldn't do that. Yes, I can, because I've had to. Because we're built on one thing. What do we look for? Now, here's what the prophet said on page 26 of Modern Events Made Clear by Prophecy. That's paragraph 26, excuse me. He said, the Bible tells us what to look for. Now, he said, well, what do we look for? He said, the Bible tells us what to look for.
Right.
So why don't we go back and read the Bible? See, like I said, then I can read the whole Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. Because there is the Word made flesh. There was the life, there was the Word itself, and there was the signs and the wonders to make manifest to show what it is. Right there in the Gospel. So we know what to look for. We know what to look for. We look for the Word. We look for that Word made flesh. Now, forget the outer like the brother read last night. We have trouble with the flesh, see? We have trouble with one another's flesh.
Right.
There's not a person in this building. My wife and I, we get along wonderful because our anniversary today, I said it this morning, but we get along fine. But still, if we sit down and talk on the Word, somewhere down the line, her and I are going to see each other, something just a little bit different.
Right.
And she's going to express it one way, and I'm going to express it another way.
Right.
Maybe. Maybe we see things a little different. We're all human. Does that mean that we're not Christians? Right? See, everybody thinks, oh, one of these days we're all going to be saying the same thing. So in Georgia and New York and California and Africa and everything, everybody says, cat all over the world. I don't believe that. We're not made like the spider web the brother said, you go all over the world and find it and it's identically fit. We're not made that way. But we're not made in a body
right. That
has many members.
Right.
My right hand doesn't look like my left, and they don't even match. Because it's I don't need them to match. What I need were two living alike for.
Right.
Everything's got to be there. But we are part of the body of Christ.
Yes.
See, we're part of the body, which that body is where God's going to make himself manifest.
Yes.
And then the same ministry's got to be among us. The prophet said to raise the dead.
Right. Amen.
And we go in the rapture.
That's right.
See? Then we look around the world and we see out there sometimes greater signs and wonders than maybe what we're looking at. You know. And we think, well maybe we've missed it. But see, take the Word and just ask them about the Word. Brother Theo was telling us last night about a group of people in his country that are just so wonderful of people. But he couldn't even talk to the people about this message. But he said, you have morals and things. He said, it just make everybody in the world ashamed of themselves. How great these people are. They go to church every night. 7 days of the week, every night, they go to church. They live for that. I mean, that's all their life is church. But you can't get the message to them. Well, is that what we're looking for, see? Why don't we look for what the prophet would be bringing to us to show us the same life, the same signs, the same everything. Go to the life first of the Word and look for Christ to be made manifest among us.
Right.
And then, see, the Bible is telling us what to look for. I look at you. Sometimes I want to kick some of you. Sometimes I have, I guess. Well, they call it old. But you look at me, you want to do the same thing to me. Why? Because the outward shell can never be, no matter what we do or are, the outward shell can never display the real Christ that's even within the person that has that shell there. Because that's what hid Christ. They look for God. As Brother Colley, I believe, was saying this morning, they come looking for God. When they looked at the shell, they couldn't find Him. Well, it'll have to be the same way in the end. We're not looking, see, and reading the Gospels, you'll find that, see, you'd say, well, look at the signs of the Gospel. But look at the daily life of the Lord Jesus, that when ridicules and persecutions and problems and things arose on every hand, that seemingly at some times He'd get so depressed, I'm sure that He would just you know, think, well, is there any hope for anybody maybe? Or anything? You know. I mean, I'm sure He went through those days, don't you think so? Then when He gets to His point of what we talk about adoption, Mount of Transfiguration, you know, hear ye Him. We find that after then He says very little and does very little. There's very few signs and wonders happens after Transfiguration. The prophet said He went straight to Calvary. See, the world's not looking for Transfiguration. They know nothing of it.
Right.
What if they can see Calvary? See? Maybe they can get a glimpse of Transfiguration.
Amen.
Brother Branham used to, when he preached, like I believe Brother Theo said, you just got to say it like he says it. He said, if he says that's a black wall, it's white, you just say black and forget it. Someday the wall will be black or something will happen. But see, here's the Lord Jesus. He's not doing anything seemingly after Transfiguration at all, almost. Early ministry, He had greater signs. Go to the prophet in our last days. The amount of the signs and wonders, you brothers were there. The amount of the signs and wonders was in basically His early ministry as far as a larger amount of doing. Seemingly in the last, it was looking like that maybe He would just pray for a few. You know, winds up preaching in a mobile home. You know, gets to the last until almost there's no one with Him. You know? And what's with Him, you know, yourself, three quarters of what was with Him today, or probably more than that, probably 90% that was with Him in the last 2 or 3 years of the ministry of the third pool and the things that was going on, or even not even here today, they're out there in the world of sin or in some denomination or doing something, you know. They didn't even see what the prophet was trying to get us to see. But see, I'm asking you, what are you looking for? What's your expectation? He said, we know what to look for. He said, the Bible tells us what to look for. I can only find it there then. The prophet directed me to the Word.
Right.
And through His eyes, I can look at the Word. You know, we used to have Baptist classes.
Right.
You know, I mean, ain't it kind of funny that where we used to read, you know, I got bifocals, that's what Brother Theo was laughing about my big Bible. I got a big Bible, I can stand back here and read, right? Doing that. I can't stand a while, I'm look out there, it bothers me. I got a big Bible, big print. But you know, I used to read through Baptist classes.
Right.
Didn't you?
Right.
say, no, I didn't. I read it. Well, I used to read, and it said in Acts 2:38 to get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. But somewhere I got Father, Son, and Holy Ghost out of that. So it must have been my glasses. You know?
Right.
It must have been my glasses I was looking through. Because the Bible didn't change.
Right.
But somewhere God done an eye transfusion, I guess you call it, or corrected my eyesight.
Right.
To where I could see.
Right.
Yeah. And now I want to see what he says to the word. See, now, matching pieces. We're talking about the Chinaman's laundry table. Put them together, see. See, the same ministry of Jesus Christ has got to be here that was here when he was here. All right?
Yeah.
Now, see, then all we got to do is go with the Revelation, because I've been on Revelation 5 now, for this is number 7, I guess. I've been on Revelation 5 for quite a while, but this is just 7 messages on it, because I'm just slow that way. But see, in Revelation 5, you find an announcement for a lamb to take a book. And you know, that's in heaven. Come on. That's in heaven. The bride has already went up when that announcement comes. You say, well, Brother Dale, that's 63. You may have a good point, but just remember what the prophet said. The bride goes up in Revelation 4:1. And she is not seen until Revelation 19. Now, he didn't say she wouldn't sing in heaven. He said she wouldn't sing. She's not on earth, because Revelation 4 shows her. That's the words of the prophet. He said, that's the bride. Who's the 24 elders? Come on, who's the 24 elders? That's the 12 apostles, 12 patriarchs. Where's the rainbow round about the throne? Who is that? That's the bride. The bride is seen in heaven in Revelation 4. She's not seen on earth until 19. So in Revelation 5, where is the bride? She's in heaven. Now here's the words of the prophet. He said all the prophets were there. Yeah. I got it in my Bible written down because that's what I have to do. My memory ain't that good. But it's on page 761. Excuse me. No, wait a minute. Page 93 of the seal book. He said Moses, Elijah, and all the prophets and the sages was there. So this has to be after the rapture. Huh? He said it was all right. And the bride was there because that's the 24 elders. That's in representation, right? And see, all of this is standing there calling for a lamb. You say, you mean after we get in heaven there's going to be a call for a lamb? Now I'm just trying to get you to see the matching pieces. Whatever happens here happens there. Come on, whatever happens here happens there. Whatever happens there happens here. Think about sometimes and study the book of Revelation. It might change your thoughts. There's got to be something right here now going on. There's got to be something going on earth right now to exactly match that in heaven, or we're not going to walk off of here, because that's what's going to bring the rapture. When the bride comes up through the seven church ages of Revelation 2 and 3 and comes out to be where that she sits with him on his throne as he's overcome and sit with his Father, that brings you right into Revelation 4, right? See, that's exactly the world waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God in the seventh church age to go right into the rapture to be Revelation 4:1 to where the bride can go up. All right? If that's happened there, if that's going to happen someday in a physical form, there's got to be a spiritual happening now that we're coming to the place to sit on the throne with him here in the baptism of the Holy Ghost to where that it can be made manifest in its fullness. In its fullness. I've always been funny about the new birth. I believe the new birth will be finished when you and I are totally changed. When we leave this earth, you can say you got the new birth. That don't mean you ain't got the new birth. That just means you got the finish. I'm still growing. It might be out, but, you know. I mean, I'm 54. They say you quit at about 18 or something, or 19, 20, start going back down. Well, I'm still going out. You know, I can show you pictures where one man gave you that mad 36 years ago. I weighed 155 pounds, 6'3". Them little old belts, you remember in the 50s? You remember the little bitty narrow belts that was made like that and had the hooks in them and had the little piece of stuff in the middle, you know, and you hooked them in them? Well, my Lord, I had one at 29, hooked both of them in the same hole. You know, I couldn't get one no smaller, and I had both of the hooks in the same hole. You know, well, I've changed a lot since then, outwardly. See, we don't quit growing. See, but that's what I see in it. What, when I see here on earth what's in heaven. Now, did the prophet, the brothers quoted this morning, it's around the world today. What's the theme around the message, people of the world today? I'm talking about because I hear it from around the world. Different people don't. When the bride realizes who she is.
Right.
See, it used to be that we thought that meant when the bride realized who he was. Because that was our thoughts.
Right.
But see, now everybody around the world is saying, when the bride realizes who she is, she'll be gone. Well, what's the difference in saying that than saying when the bride realizes that she is already here in heavenly places in Christ Jesus to match exactly what she'll be when she walks beyond the curtain of time? Is there any difference in what I just stated? Because we got to be here. What we are there. Come on, I'm quoting the prophet, whether you think it or not. He said, death doesn't change anything.
Right.
He said, it only changes your dwelling place.
Right.
He said, what I am here, I'll be that there.
Right.
Well, if I can look over there and see myself there, you know, then all I'm trying to do is just get the pieces together.
Right.
You know what? Now, what happened in the Lord Jesus? Did the psalmist say that heaven and earth kissed? Brother Moat used to preach that. It really thrilled me. See, heaven and earth kissed? See, God and man became one in Jesus Christ to walk through the Gospels to be that, to show us what was to be expected. Well, wouldn't it be in the last days that God and man would be one again? Is that the words of the prophet? He says, God and man one us, God and man one here. See, we're looking at the shell and saying it can't be. Well, it never will be as long as it can't be. See, when we begin to say maybe it can, at least we're moving. Then one day we begin to say, hey, I'm beginning to think maybe that I feel a little pull from over there, you know. I feel something pulling me. Something's pulling me home, you know. Well, if I do that, what's happening? It's because God in His mind has already... Now, you see what I said? God in His mind has already seen the rapture. He has already showed us the picture of it. He's already told the prophet what it looks like. He's already went beyond the curtain of time, come back to tell us about it. He's already went up in the Word, got the opening of the Word, got the seals, got through the Scriptures, everything. And comes back and tells us what to look for. Tells us what to look for. What are we to look for? We're to look for Jesus Christ, made in a many-membered body. Now I'm going to make a statement that I hope you listen to real careful. And I pray to God I have the words to say, because I'm trying to build up to say it, and I don't know how, but maybe He'll give words. If you misunderstand it, just come and ask me, and I'll be glad to tell you if that's what... If you think I say something else, come and ask me. I'll say, no, I don't say that. So at least you'll know, okay? But you know, that's a funny-looking lamb in Revelation 5. That's a funny-looking lamb. I've never seen a lamb with seven eyes and seven horns. He said, well, Brother Dale, that's just Jesus. I think it's where you miss it to say just Jesus. See? Find out about Jesus that where the you is in there and it makes us, and without us, He's just Jess. You know? He doesn't have a name without us. Yeah. See, because we've got to be there. Well, isn't it odd when he gets to Revelation 5? The description he gives of the Lamb that takes the book? Reckon that could be going on here?
Right.
Alright, let's say it in a better term to make sure that you'll understand. I believe something is happening here in the earth that exactly matches that. Now, had it been that what you see there was a description of a lamb, you know, as an animal with just four legs and wool or whatever it would be, you know, and just that type of description, you know, 2 ears, 2 eyes, 4 legs. My brother used to kill deer, and he'd come out and walk out, and you could ask him, say, what'd you get today? He said, I got a four-pointer. Well, see, everybody knew what that was. It was a doe, you know, because it's 4 legs. You know, he'd call them four-pointers. But, see, I'm saying that to wake you up. I have my way of waking people up. Sometimes it works. If it don't, I'm going to get me a buzzer, you know. But, now listen. This lamb in Revelation 5 is not described like that. Isn't it odd that the elders say it? Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Amen. And John looks and sees a lamb that had been slain. Right. Now we know where the lamb was slain.
Right?
That's Calvary. We know where the lamb was slain. But then what's the description? Travels 2,000 years. Come on, the description travels. A lamb that was slain. That's Calvary. That's Jesus Christ when he died, gave his life, hung on Calvary, paid the debt.
Right.
But then the description travels.
Right.
In words there that's not written out, but it goes 2,000 years.
Right.
Because he said a lamb having 7 horns and 7 eyes. Which are the 7 spirits of God set forth into all the earth. And you know what the prophet said? He said, there's no such thing as 7 spirits. So God doesn't have 7 spirits. He said, that's 7 church ages with his spirit manifesting through the people of the age.
Alright?
So now when you look at this lamb, he's not a bleeding, you know, not a bat, 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 you know. We say, oh, we know better than that. You know, we know it's not that kind of lamb. But who's ever seen a lamb with 7 horns and 7 eyes? Now, here's what the prophet said about it. Page 9, Mighty God Unveiled. Where does this one come from that we see? He said he came from the Father's throne down through 7 church ages.
Right.
Now, we claim to believe him, see. He says, where does this one come from? He said, he come from the Father's throne,
right,
see, down through 7 church ages. You know, one day we may find out something really did happen in 1963.
Right.
As long as we keep it in the right order, we'll find out something still happening in 1994.
Right.
Uh-huh. See, because this lamb has 7 horns and 7 eyes, and the prophet said, page 100 of 101 of the seal book, he said, the horns means eyes. He said, the 7 church age messengers, the eyes of God. Now where does this lamb come from? Where does this lamb come from? He comes from the 7 church ages. Where did the original lamb come from? Where did Jesus Christ come from? From the Old Testament 7 church ages. Did the prophets teach 7 church ages in the Old? Now I can't place them. Don't ask me to, because I can't. But he said there were 7 church ages in the Old Testament, 7 church ages in the New Testament. He said, see, the lamb was kept up 14 days. I go read the Bible, I find out he kept up 4 days. Well, I found out a long time. I could be wrong, but he couldn't, so I just decided I must be messed up there. Because he said 7 church ages in the Old Testament, 7 church ages in the New, that's 14 days the lamb was kept up. The prophet's right. We're all measured. We read the Bible, say, keep up 4 days, Brother Brown. No, he was kept up 14 days, because that's 7 in the old, 7 in the new. You know? This, the lamb that came forth back there to walk out to John came from the Old Testament. Read the masterpiece, how the prophets built the body. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob was the foundation. The prophets built the body. You know, as it come forth, said the last one was John the Baptist, introduced Jesus Christ. He was the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. That's what John said. And he was worthy. He paid the price. Isn't it odd he preached six hymns? Not too odd, but I'm just saying that. Isn't it odd Jesus come down to the end and preach six hymns? Here comes the prophet alone, makes a statement, outstanding. He said, the seal of broken age has come down. I've heard interpretations of that from every thought that could ever be in the world. But one day the Lord just spoke to me and said, well, Jesus preached six seals. He said, the age has come down. I said, thank you, Lord. The seal is broke to Jesus Christ there in the scripture because the prophet said he preached them in the word. The seal is broke, the age has come down. No problem anymore. No problem when you get to the Feast of the Trumpets. When you find that the Brother Branham, the messenger of Malachi 4, was to come between the sixth and seventh seal. Great man in this message. Big man all of you know. Said one time, he said, well, that Feast of the Trumpets, said, so Brother Branham made so many mistakes, said, you can't depend on it, or something like that. Brother Branham in that message, he said, it's thus saith the Lord all the way through.
That's right.
But see, what he's looking at, he's looking at the sixth seal. And see, that would be the tribulation, you know. Thinking, well, Brother Branham's got to come in there, and you heard all the eighth days. That's where they come from, see. They've got to get on out there into something else. But Brother Branham come in the right place. He come between the time Jesus preached six seals and the time of the opening of the seventh seal to where the bride could realize redemption. So he came between the sixth and seventh seal. And sixth and seventh trumpet. You say, yeah, but all the trumpets of Israel, how do we leave? Sorry, the prophet said six of the trumpets has already sounded. He said it sounded under Eichmann and Hitler in the return of the Jews to the homeland. So the prophet came between the sixth and seventh seal, sixth and seventh trumpet. That's no problem once it comes in order. Finding that ministry of Christ. Now we find that in Revelation 5 that this Lamb has seven horns and seven eyes. So there'll have to be something on earth to match that.
Right.
So what is it? It's the bride down through seven church ages.
Right.
Seven horns and seven eyes is the bride down through seven church ages. Identically matches what's in heaven. We don't have to wait till we get there. Brother said, I believe it was Saturday night, you know, we got an insurance policy, but we can already draw some dividends off of it, you know. I mean, we get the dividends already. We don't have to wait till we die.
Right.
I ain't going to get my inheritance when I die physically, you know. It doesn't matter how much insurance I have. It's going to go to somebody else.
Right.
But see, I get the benefits now.
Right.
I'd like to draw mine up to where they couldn't even get nothing when I'm gone. Well, I'm talking spiritual now. I ain't talking physical. All right? You know, because I'd love to leave everything I could to help somebody else, but I'm not that spiritual. I'd like to use all mine up. I believe eternal life is the only thing anybody's ever tried to give away.
Right.
Ever since I received it, I've been trying to give it away. Yeah. See, because I want somebody else to get it. But do you see what I'm talking about now? Matching pieces? What's going to be the rapture? When a bride comes on the earth to identically match the Lamb in Revelation 5 that has seven horns and seven eyes. See? When that happens here, we're going there. I like to believe in foreknowledge, don't you? But I believe in God's foreknowledge that one day he saw Luther come on the earth and bring a message of the just shall live by faith. He's using him. But you know, one day he saw him leave the earth. That was as much as his foreknowledge as him coming on earth. And do you know that Luther couldn't live one day past that foreknowledge? Why? Why couldn't he live past that? Because he got to match in the pieces. You get it? He got to match in what God saw. Where? In heaven. But what happened to Luther? He had to go.
Yes.
There's no way he could stay here. The pieces matched.
Amen.
Right. That's right. The prophet used it one time. He said, like, God, take your clock out of the rack, you know. Just using another illustration. He said, he takes it over, punches it, you leave. Because you're finished. What's going to bring the rapture? When the bride here matches exactly to that match that's spoken of there.
See?
When we match that, we're going. That's the ministry of Jesus Christ. That's not Brother Dale being an eighth-day messenger, or the one to believe, or one to follow, or anybody else. That's when the bride around the world becomes the Word made flesh.
Right.
That's what the world is waiting on. It ain't waiting on me and you.
Right.
It's waiting on the manifestation of the sons of God, which is the Word manifest through me and you.
Right.
See? I told you one time, I walked out in the yard at home being a farmer, it hurt me. I heard those cattle back in 86, I believe it was, when it was so dry. I heard those cattle and they were just coughing and coughing, laying on the ground, you know. They couldn't stand up all the time. And that dust coming up, and I heard that and I said, oh God. I said, I live on the farm, Lord, I know what that is. I said, them poor things can't breathe, they can't stand up all the time. I walked out through the yard and it was going crunch, crunch, crunch. I said, God. And I stopped and I said, God, forgive me. I said, maybe I'm not at the place that you could use me to call rain for your creation. I said, forgive me. I looked around at the grass and I said, grass, forgive me. I said, trees, your leaves turning too early because you're drying up. I said, forgive me, trees. I talked to the creation. I said, animals, forgive me. But I said, hold on. I said, someday, God will send somebody. If it ain't me, He'll send somebody. He'll raise up somebody that can bring you rain. And I started to walk back into the house, and I started in the house, and I'm telling it exactly where it was. You can believe what you want to, because I'm past the days of anything. I started walking back into the house, and I said, God, somebody could come. He said, why don't you say it? It's on record down on the tapes downstairs. I walked right here to this church. It had been so dry in June and July and all through that. I stood right here in this church. I said, this will be the wettest August on record. This record that we just made in Gainesville, Georgia, not 86, one of those, go back and check your rate. It's 86 right in there somewhere. You'll find out it was more rain that month in Gainesville than there was this past time that we just got through this rain. But I stood right here and I said, God told me to say it and I'm going to say it. And I stood here one day and I said, it won't rain till I call for it.
Right.
I said, get up and say what you want to now, any of you. Because I ain't challenging you, I'm just telling you. It's not going to rain till I call for it. It's on the tapes. We don't erase no tapes. What said down there 5 years ago is still there. You can check whether I changed it or not. Then one day I walked out here and I said, it's going to rain now. You better roll your windows up.
Amen.
I said, it'll rain now. Because I'm calling for it and it started raining.
Right.
You said, well, Brother Dale, that's just foolishness. It happened. I'm not trying to prove nothing. I'm just talking about God that can do.
Right.
I might not be nothing. I may be lost. See, anointed ones can do great things. I may be lost, but maybe He heard my concern for those animals. Maybe He heard my concern for those trees and that grass that I was talking to them. He said, they can't hear you. Yes, they can.
Bless
you. They can hear you. Animals are scared of you. Why? Not because you're so big. But it's because of something that God gave you in the beginning that was to rule over them.
Right.
See? That's what they hear. See? I'm just trying to tell you, somewhere it's got to match the pieces. I told Brother Theo something that happened years ago. Many of you know it. That God changed my blood type from A positive to A negative on medical records. He said, I've never heard that in my life, Brother Dale. I said, I don't have to talk about it. I can prove it. I gave blood at General Motors for years under A positive. I don't know how many gallon I really gave. And all of them was A positive. One day it was A negative. Why? Because we had the Rh factor in our blood and Anna was, you know, that was before Anna was born. Why did God change mine? I don't know. He didn't tell me. I didn't know it till I went to the doctor. But Wade and Terrence Bowe were born with a yellow factor to them. Anna was born not a dab to her because he had changed my blood to match her. He didn't have to have me to call for it. He done that because he wanted it done. All we was doing was praying for Anna to be all right. I'm just trying to tell you, you may be looking, not at me now, forget me because I'm talking about you. See, the way I preach, I believe every little sister in here has just as much to do with the third pool as any of the great big old fellas in this message that think they know all about it. It may be that little simple little sister that has it.
Right.
You know? It may be the children. Like I told you about our granddaughter, you know, we was fishing and we didn't catch nothing. We come down the road and I said, well, we didn't get nothing. She said, no wonder the cattle's laying down.
Bless her.
See? Well, right. See, she had heard that.
Right.
She had read it, you know, and things.
Right.
And she said, well, the prophet, you know, it's the cattle are laying down. Right. Well, Paul said, that's why we didn't catch no fish.
Right.
See? The ministry of Jesus Christ can be and will be in the smallest member as well as it will be in the greatest of all members. And everyone has their place. See? Everyone has their part. Everybody's got something. And you got a right to look for something. If you're looking for something, you'll find it. Is that right?
Right.
I mean, you're searching for something. You'll find it if you're searching. You're really sincere. Brother Al Arnett was telling us the other day over there in Rutherfordton about Brother Pat Tyler. You were the older ones know him. You heard him heard Brother Brown speak of him. He was a gangster. He killed people and everything else, and that bothered him, burdened him. They said he'd ride down the road. I heard Brother Moat tell about it. So he'd ride down the road and say, well, how many people could be out there that I killed? You know, it bothered him. He could take two pair of dice, and he was a professional gambler. He could take two pair of dice and hold them in his hand. He could roll them and do like that, and he could roll them out, and there'd be red spots on them come rolling out. He'd say, your sins be a scar. Reach out one hand, take them back, and you'd never see him. He'd change and roll out a second pair of dice with white dots on them. He said, but they'll be white as snow.
I've seen that.
Yeah. Brother said he's seen it. But see, Brother Pat Tyler, one time he lost his keys. And he said, Brother Al said, we was praying about it. Said we was praying. And said, Brother Pat just laid his hands like that up on the back of a convertible. And he said, God, I've lost my keys. And he said, there's praying. And said, God, give me my keys. So he opened his eyes, reached over, picked them up, and walked the store. God just put them there. He said, you know. You say, well, he just dropped them there. You know? We've seen too much to doubt.
Sure.
Now listen, I'm like this. Let me be the kind of a person who will stand in the way of someone else.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Well, see, Brother Branham came on the scene. God manifested himself through that. Wonderful. We believe that. But he didn't end all of it. Because he was not all the bride. See? But the bride comes to her place. She'll be standing there, an invincible army. An invincible army, the prophet said, walking forth that Satan cannot do anything with her. And Brother Dalvin told him about, you know, about, who was it, Napoleon, or one of them conquered the world, or which one he was. Was it him? Conquered the world. They looked at his map, and all the generals said that he was laying down in front of him the maps of the whole world, known world at that time. Said he looked around. He said, men said, I've conquered every bit of this. And one man said, what about that little red dot? He said, don't forget that, you know. Upset him.
Yeah.
You know, you went on talking. The man said, well, what about this little red dot? He said, that's England. And he said, I've done everything I can, but I can't conquer them. Right. And that's where he met his Waterloo.
Right.
When he went down and tried to conquer it. Like Brother Theo said, wouldn't it be something if the devil had his big plane and, you know, big scene laid out all over the world and he's looking down and he said, I got the Methodist, I got the Baptist, I got the Presbyterian, I got all this, I got all that. I said, well, what's that red dot? He said, leave me alone about that red dot. He said, I've done everything in the world that group of people and I can't get them off the word.
Right.
See, there's somewhere that's going to be made manifest. Well, why can't we condemn we're part of it?
Right.
Well, You say you're all of it, you ain't going to be none anyway. But if you don't contend to be part of it, you know, if we don't strive to be part of it, we can never be nothing anyway.
Right.
What is that saying about quitters never win, but what is the rest of it? Winners never quit. Yeah. See? Fall down, get up. See? I come to find out a lot of times when I fell down, that's where I needed to be for a while. You know, you get just a little bit too big for your britches. God put you on your knees. Let you crawl a while. Brother Branham told God one day, you know, you've heard the story of it. He told a girl that she was healed. She died. Brother Branham said, God, you owe me an answer. Brother Branham said, God let him bow for about 3 months. Pout it out, you know. See, God had told him, and she was healed, and she was. So then one day he come and told him, he said, that girl was supposed to die a year ago. He said, I extended her life down to this time. See, she was healed of what he told her, but she was supposed to die a year before. He just gave her a year to live it out to where she could get converted.
Right.
Yeah. There's none of us rule God. We don't do it. I talked to a man years ago. He said, the devil don't bother me no more. He said, I'm working on commanding the Lord. I just got as far away from him as I could get. Because I knew the devil had done confused him so much he couldn't understand anything. I never talked to him no more. Never tried to say anything to him. I just let him go. You know. So I know what the Bible says. It says, command ye me. That's scripture. He was using the scripture, just like the snake handler, just like the drinking of the wine. He was using the scripture that would say those things. But it doesn't mean command like command. It means get into the commander and let the commander work through you.
Right.
And then you'll make yourself manifest. See, what's your expectation? Oh, Brother Dale, I long to see signs and wonders. There's nobody in the world that believes in signs and wonders anymore than Brother Dale does. Because I believe the Word. I've never spoken in tongues in my life. But I believe in it.
Right.
I believe in it. Why? Because the Word says it.
Right.
I believe it because the Word says it. Right. Maybe someday God will let me. That's nothing to me. We've seen it right here. Brother sitting right there, sick as could be. He never spoke in tongues. He used to tell me, he said, I spoke with new tongues. Because his used to be pretty bad. And the rest of the body backed it up. Third degree black belt. He backed it up. I told some of them in the fellowship meeting one time, I said, I'm not scared to go nowhere. I said, man, I walk around. I said, I don't bother me nowhere. I said, ain't nobody. I'm not scared of nobody. I said, no wonder I got I know Brother Dean was a third degree. Brother Harris, I know he was a black belt, but I don't know how much. And Brother Gary took some. Brother Tom was a brown belt. Brother Moore come along. Archie Moore's the boxer. Archie Moore's son comes out. I said, I've got a boxer. I've got black belts, and I've got brown belts all around me. And I've got all that. I ain't afraid of a thing. I said, and I can whip every one of them. Of course, a certain fella in here messed that up. He said, with his tongue. Went into Canada here a while back, and you know how they have to stop you. You know, we sitting there, and she said, "You have any guns?" I said, "With you?" I said, "No, ma'am." She said, "Weapons." Said, "You have any weapons?" I said, "No, ma'am." With you, you know. And she said, "You got any weapons at home?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." I said, "I got an arsenal." She looked at me, you know. I said, "I've got all kind of guns." But I said, didn't bring none with you. Well, you don't have no weapons with you. I said, ma'am, my only legal weapon I've got is my tongue. She said, go on through. Yeah, you know, because I was, I said, that's the only legal weapon I've got. But I'm just saying, see, these brothers, they gave their heart to the Lord.
Right.
I mean, a life changed. A life changed. It may be not changed in a hurry.
Right.
It may have took time to realize what was going on.
Right.
But slowly it changed to where they're not fighting for the devil anymore. They're on God's side. Yeah. Fighting for the Lord now. Yeah. What they went through will be a great benefit because they'll realize where they came from. You know. But I'm just trying to get you to see the life comes first. But if that life matches the life you see there, right? See, when the word matches the word you see there,
right?
Then the signs will match the signs you see there. The matching pieces. I'm just trying to get us to see here that right here is where it's going to take place.
Yeah.
Reverend Ike said, give me my pie now. I don't want a pie in the sky. He said, give it to me now.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? He had a point. It's just in the wrong way.
Right.
I want the word now.
Right.
I mean, they used to tell us the manifested sons would be in the millennium. Well, I was listening to a tape one day and I heard the prophet say, he said, what do we need manifested sons in the millennium? He said, we need them now.
Right.
You know?
Amen.
I said, well, thank you. You know? See, I want to see Christ live. But now I'm going to finish the message with this point, and then we'll go to the communion. Brother Colleen, brother, you get Brother Harris or one of the brothers back there to help you. I'm going to finish it with one point like this. The prophet of God said one day, he said, give me love in a church and you can have all the gifts, all the signs and the wonders.
Right.
Now what did he mean? We don't have to understand what he meant. He meant what he said.
Sure.
But now what did he say? He didn't say do away with the gifts. No. See, that's what everybody said. No. See, they've done away with the gifts. He didn't say that. He said, give me love.
Right. Right.
Right. Love among the people, that's God.
Right.
Well, everywhere God's at, there's got to be signs and wonders following him.
Right.
See? But get the signs and wonders, you miss the love, you're worth nothing.
Right.
See? So what do we strive for? The love of God in our hearts. And come find out that's a headstone. Yeah. Everybody wonder what the headstone is? It's love.
Sure.
But it's not a filial.
Right.
See? It's Christ. Christ living in us. Well, see, we've come to the time to where it says in the Scripture that everybody does what they think is right in their own eyes. Is that true? People do today what they think is right in their own eyes. That's why you can't talk to a lot of people. Because they're not expecting anything. Or they're expecting the wrong thing. What's your expectation? What are you looking for? I've tried my best to tell you what I'm looking for. When this matches here, what's there? We're going. And you know, isn't it funny how simple God can do a thing? You know, he draws millions of gallons of water every day and never even makes a bit of racket. Could it be that he could just move right among us with a simple message of that would be the greatest message that had ever been in the world? And we could still be fighting around Horeb? You know? Instead of heading to the promised land? We've seen the word of God made manifest. Go out to eat this afternoon. You find out you can't smoke. Why? Because that's the word of God. Yeah. Go around the world and look at Russia. It's gone. That's just about asleep, but still it's gone as far as the name. Why? Because the word of God. Yeah. A manifested son stood here and said it. Well, what's wrong with the rest of us? The prophet said one person in a building healed. He said that ought to throw every person there into desperation until they won't stop until they are healed. We look at it and we say, well, praise the Lord, they're healed. Thank you, but I'm still sick. See, that's not an expectation. The earnest expectation. Earnest means a sincere, burning desire. You know, earnest. That form there doesn't just mean the little thing that we'd use like which is the earnest of our inheritance, you know, as we'd use that as maybe just a little part down payment. That doesn't mean there is necessarily earnest that way. It means us, because it's put the earnest expectations, it's putting them two together to where they'll come out with the right word. And it's meaning the burning desire that we have within us. And if you've got the Holy Ghost today, there's one thing about it. There's something in your heart that man can't put out because he didn't put it in. And it'll make us thirsty. It'll make us so thirsty till we'll get to the right place. Until we come to that place. And when we come to that place, brother told me one time, Brother Branham, you remember on tape, that we talked to this brother, Brother Zimmer, talked to him years ago and knew him. Brother Branham told us, man, he said, the Lord had to drag you here. That's what he said. He said, the Lord had to drag you here. Brother Zimmer went to the man, he'd heard Brother Branham said that, you know, and he went to the man, he said, what happened, any different this time going, that time going to Jeff and any other time? He said, nothing, I just got in the car and drove. But there's no telling how many battles went on.
Right.
Because the prophet said he had to drag you here.
Right.
Reckon it could be that simple? Could it be that simple that the sisters could go about their daily duty and just walking through the house? Now, I'll give one illustration. I think the sister, you know, that he's talking about matches the sister. You remember that when her husband come home to prove she was a Christian, I think those match, all right? And she was down in the floor saying, not fussing and screaming, bless God, you get out of here, I'll tell you what, you ain't throwing them eggs and things on the floor with me. She was down in the floor saying, must Jesus bear the cross alone? I think that's the same sister. Okay? I think the man with his lunch under his arm going to work could fit some of the other examples that we've heard him tell of other men, you know, that were led of the Lord. Brother Mike and I met Brother Dalton. You heard him. He come here and preached. Brother Branham told his father. Said, all of your children will be saved. Brother Dalton told that here, and I done heard him tell it, and I wanted him to make sure and tell some of those things. Brother Dalton said his, some of you maybe never heard it, but Brother Dalton said his mother, when Brother Branham said that, his mother, she said, boy, I'll tell you what, when I get home, I am going to get on to them kids, and I am going to just, you know, in other words, she was just all stirred up, boy. And Brother Branham told her, he said, that's wrong, sis. He said, that's wrong. Well, see, they left and went home, and one of them done got converted. The worst one, Brother Dalton said, of all of them done got converted before they got home. Why? Because it was a promise.
Right.
We've got a promise.
Right.
We've got a promise. The word's our promise. I can look at, if I want to find out whether I'm going to be there or not, I just look at Revelation 5. If I want to know whether I'm going to heaven or not, I look at Revelation 5. I say, well, can I find myself there? And I begin to look around and I begin to see the things that represents the bride, and I believe I'm part of it, and I say, well, hey, that must be me. You know that the Bible says the people that don't have a vision will perish. Now, it didn't say people that seen visions. It said without a vision, the people will perish. Can you look over there and see yourself there? If you can, I always give this illustration. Somebody come and told me today, said, Brother Dale, you just inherited $10 million. I'd go down to the bank, and they'd say, you're not going to get it for about 5 years. I'd just go down to the bank, and I'd say, Mr. Bank Man, I got the paperwork, because that's what we got. You know, we got the prophet's message, we got the Bible and everything, we got the paperwork. So I got the paperwork, and the law's done stamped it, put a seal on this. We go right here. But I don't get it for 5 years. I said, now, Mr. Bank Man, if you'll loan me a couple of million on what I got laying here, I'll give you five when I get my inheritance. Because that's what I believe in. So I'm going to start the benefits right now. Take that $2 million and live, and then the time come, I just hand him $5 million, see? Because he was worthy, you know, he believed me enough to trust me. Because he seen what I had. I think we'll be able to lay anything we need on that, don't you? Brother Tatum and Brother Moulton and myself went one time to pray for Sister Hooper. First miracle I ever seen. We went up to pray for Sister Hooper. We walked in. She was paralyzed the day before, and they prayed for her. She sat up in the bed, but she still hadn't got up. Her son's a Pentecostal preacher, and he was standing there. She turned around to her son and said, "Get your Bible." And her brother Tatum said, "Lay that Bible on my feet so these brothers are going to pray for me. Because God's going to touch me." I'm like, "Boy, that's good faith." She took that, he took that Bible, laid it down on her feet. We turned around and prayed. Looked back. She was kind of a heavy-set lady. And I said it that way is because of what she'd done. She just sat right up in the middle of the bed. You remember? She just folded her legs up. Well, I couldn't sit the way she did. She sat right up in the middle of that bed, just folded her legs up. She was sitting there talking to us how the Lord had done healed her. And Brother Moulton turned around and he said, "Now, Sister Hooper," said, "when out a while," said, "you know, I mean, a few days," he said, "you get to feeling better," said, "I believe you're healed and all," but said, "you know, start putting your feet out on the floor." He's telling her to do this, do that, you know. And she looked at him, she said, "You get out of this room, I'm getting up." But we left that room, she got up. Yeah. Why? Because she believed it. She took it, she believed it meant her. She accepted it. Well, why can't me and you believe that Romans 8 is talking about us? I've never told anybody where I am in the body because I don't know. Well, what in the world are you doing preaching? I don't know that either. I mean, I believe in gifts. I believe God called me to preach, but I don't know why I'm a pastor in the church or anything. I don't know anything. I just do what he tells me to do. But you see, I believe that I'm in part of this word. I'm not worried how big I am, how little I am, what I am. I just want to match the word that's written of me. I just want to be what the word says I am. And then being what the word says I am, then I'll be that. And there will be a manifestation for that. Because it can't be, if the life's there, and you know what I'm talking about, I ain't talking about mine. If you think I'm talking about my life when I say that, you're foolish. I'm talking about his life living in me. Right. Doing the best I can, humanly, with failure. With his life. That word then. And then signs following it. Because that is the manifestation of the sons of God. Let's stand together. We always have communion on the first Sunday and have a foot washing. And we just thank God for that. If you'd like to read with us for a little bit in 1 Corinthians 11 chapter, verse 23, we'll read. And then we'll go into the communion and then have the foot washing. And all, and some of you, if you go home before we get through, we appreciate you coming, being with us or whatever, but we don't have a closed communion now. We have an open communion to all believers. You know, it's for the believers. That's, we believe it that way. It's for the believers. You know, and I believe that. Alright, 1 Corinthians 11:23. "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do shew the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged," now that's what I like. I like that scripture, whether you do. I love that scripture because it says, "But when we are judged," are chastened of the Lord. Why? That we should not be condemned with the world. That's the reason he chastens us. That's the reason he judges us. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another, and if any man hunger, let him eat at home, and that you come not together unto condemnation, to rest, well, I set in order when I come. Let's just have a few moments of just silent prayer, praying one for the other, and just remember Brother Dan and them still on the road traveling. Just pray for them and all, and just remember each other. Let's just pray silently before the Lord. In Jesus' name. The Bible said he took bread and blessed it. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this bread. And we know that it represents thy word. Lord, as we take this natural bread, we'll eat it. It'll go through the processes in our body, and it'll create cells. We're going to live by what we eat right here this afternoon. We thank you for the great meal that we had to eat today in the natural. And we thank you for the spiritual eating of the word this morning with our brethren last night, Father, in the fellowship and all. And we come to this time now to do these things in remembrance of thee, Lord. Just sanctify this bread and the partakers that we may all be one together in Jesus' name. Brother Daisley, I believe it was Brother Daisley, told me that at the fellowship meeting, that meal and things that was in the oil and the meal and the things, that they sent them some. They took made communion bread out of it and took communion. I said, Brother, I'd like to cut some of it. You know, I mean, I would. I'd love to go over and eat some out of that barrel. I'd like to be one of them. Maybe I might be a Doubting Thomas, that brother that I said, sitting looking around. I'd probably be standing over the thing. Old Brother Theo had a hammer up there. He kept that hammer with him the whole time. He was up there every service. He said he had it out there. And he was telling about, you know, he said this man had a breakdown in a factory and they couldn't fix nothing. Couldn't get nothing to work. He said they called in specialists. They called everybody trying to get all the machinery in the whole plant to shut down. Would none of them run because this one machine wouldn't run. It was all connected. But when it wound up, just keep that, brother, and we'll use this because there's enough here. When it wound up, they called in this real specialist. He walked around for days or time and looked. He checked everything he could check. He asked them questions. He done everything. Said, finally went over to the main machine, picked up a hammer, walked around, began to rub it. Said, after a while, he took the hammer and he just, pow, hit it one time. Every machine in the plant came on and started running. So you know where to hit. You know, he knew where to hit the right spot.
Amen.
God knows how to put the right spot on it. Father, we thank you for this wine. Lord, it's went through the processes and now aging and getting better every day, Lord. Don't have to be nothing added to it. And we know that it's in symbol of thy spirit. And Lord, as we eat the bread, then we'll drink the wine. We'll partake. It'll go down in our bodies. It'll come out to be blood cells. And it'll make us live. We pray that you just help us to understand that's what you're trying to do for us, is make us live. Forgive our sins, and Lord, and just bless us together as one in thee. Sanctify this wine now as we partake in Jesus' name. Isn't he Wonderful, 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 isn't Jesus my Lord? Wonderful. Eyes have seen, ears have heard what's recorded in God's Word. Isn't Jesus my Lord? Wonderful. Isn't He wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord? Wonderful. Eyes have seen, ears have heard what's recorded in God's Word. We know what to look for. Look in the Word. Jesus, my Lord, wonderful. Just sing it unto Him and think about Him. Isn't He wonderful, wonderful? The prophet said he looked at Him one day and said, He's this, He's that, He's counselor, He's prince of peace. So that's why he just said He's wonderful, you know, because that's what he saw. Ears have heard what's recorded in God's Word. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Isn't He wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Eyes have seen, ears have heard what's recorded in God's Word. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? One more time. Isn't He wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Eyes have seen, ears have heard what's recorded in God's Word. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? You know, the communion was the last thing they done before they left Egypt. The last thing they done. You know, the last thing Jesus done before He left the earth, He served communion. You know, the prophet said the first thing we do when we get on the other side is take communion. You know, all of these here, there's people in the message now, done quit taking communion. Because the Lord's come. Right? Said, do this till I come, you know, say don't do it no more. Because He done come. I don't think that's right myself. I want to be doing it. I wish that we could be doing it the minute of the rapture. You know, wouldn't it be great to just move from here right on over there? I didn't tell all that a while ago about things. I believe and have seen things happen with people taking the communion, and Brother Gibby had been real sick and his eyes had messed up and crossed his vision. I had one caught up here, one down here, messed up, just everything in the world. And all because of some pressure or something. They still don't know what it is, don't reckon, you know, build up of cells or something behind his eye. But we prayed for him, and I said, you know, we set up a little thing here. There's somebody's out sick. We let the brothers take the communion. Serve it to them, you know, because they're out. If it's possible, we'll do that, you know. And so they got together, and I said, well, would y'all just take it down there with Brother Collie and Brother Harris and some of the brothers. I think Brother Moore was with them. Some of them went on down, and they went down to Brother Gibby's and started serving him communion. Well, he took the bread, and he took the wine. When he did, he started speaking in tongues. The glory of the Lord came down in the church, in the house there. All of them were shouting, having a good time. He was speaking in tongues. Never spoke in tongues in his life. Been so sick he couldn't sit up. Been so done. Got up, prayed for all of them. Went around, prayed for them. And just went on for on and on and on and on. Just kept going on, they said. You know, that the presence of the Lord was there. Why? Because he was taking communion with the rightness and heart. Right understanding. Rightness and heart. And believing it. Brother Harris, I believe, told his wife on the way down there, said, when he takes that communion, said, God will touch him. I believe that's right, wasn't it, Brother Harris? Two, I've Sister Harris was telling me today that, you know, she's been having a lot of trouble, and I've maybe mentioned it to some of you, but she told me today that the doctor said her tumors, or what they call them, they're not as big as an orange or a grapefruit or something. She said if you ever get that big, I'd have to do something, because she had misunderstood him. She thought he said they was that big, but they said it wasn't that big, and, you know, they're guarding it and watching it and things like that. But I wanted to make sure if anybody heard me, because they might think somewhere later, you know, Sister Harris said, well, I didn't have that, you know. Well, see, she misunderstood the doctor, and I thought she was saying that it was enlarged that much and everything, but we thank God he said it was, they just going to watch it, take care of it. So we appreciate God for that, don't we? Let's all take the communion together. You can be seated for a minute if you'd like before we dismiss. We'll read from John 13 before we take the foot washing. The sisters go downstairs and things, and the men up here. So we'll just read our scripture, and then we'll be. Now, we won't come back up here. We don't come back upstairs after the foot washing. We just here. But now, don't try to go into the bottom until the sisters open the door down there, you know, or anything, because they'll be down there taking the foot washing. And supper being ended, verse 2, 13th chapter of John. The devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and he was come from God and went to God, he rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Once he found out he was really meaning what he's saying, that he wouldn't have no part with him, he really got serious, didn't he? Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean everywhit, and you are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, You are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. The ladies may retire to the basement for the foot washing. We appreciate you being here. We've had a good time this weekend together and all, and just appreciate you being with us and us fellowshipping together.